You're listening to Clyde's Favorite O-Time Radio, a podcast of the various genres of O-Time Radio, science fiction, comedy, mystery, horror, and historical broadcasts. Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale. I hope you're enjoying the programming of Mystery Play Internet Radio. It is a real pleasure and honor for me to share these shows with you. MPIR has been a continuous operation, broadcasting and sharing these wonderful programs to the delight of millions of listeners. It would have been impossible without the financial support of listeners like you. Mystery Play Internet Radio is listener-supported. Here's an invitation to you. This is critical, so please listen. Right now, send in a donation via PayPal. Just go to www.mpir-otr.com. That's www.mpir-otr.com and click on that donation page. Tell your friends and neighbors and family members about how you enjoy Mystery Play Internet Radio. Mystery Play Internet Radio is entering a very critical period. The server costs are rising, operation and expenses are increasing. I really need your financial support to continue operation. That's www.mpir-otr.com. www.mpir-otr.com. I thank you.
This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. Somewhere in the archives of the Paris police, there's a story about a vanishing lady and a hotel room that disappears into thin air. By word of mouth, this tale has traveled around the world. Many a time has this yarn been spun on shipboard across the seven seas, in clubs, around campfires, and in a score of different languages. Many accounts of it have been set down, one by Mrs. Belloc Lowndes, and more recently by the late Alexander Wolcott. There was even a scholarly essay published about it, which claimed that the reason for the international fascination of this legend was that it's a common nightmare, shared by people in every part of the world. George Burns and Gracie Allen have long been mystery fans, and they told us the mystery legend which has intrigued them most is this week's favorite story. As our terrified young heroine, we present one of your favorite actresses, Janet Waldo. Now, if you wish, you may turn down the lights and listen to the mystery of room 323.
Why must I relive that awful day over and over? It happened so long ago. But I still wake up at night thinking about it, screaming. Do you wonder why I scream? Do you wonder why one day in my life has caused this terror I cannot lose? Then listen.
and put yourself in my place. We'd lived in India for 10 years, my mother, my father, and I. Dad was a representative of an American firm in the district north of Madras. He traveled a great deal into strange territory. One day, we received word that my father had died quite suddenly, somewhere in the wilds of the hill country. The officials were so mysterious about it, we thought maybe they could be wrong. We waited months. We sent a party into the hills. They came back with ample proof. My father was dead. So Mother and I started for home. During the long, monotonous voyage through the Suez and across the hot Mediterranean, Mother was ill in her stateroom. She assured me it was only grief and seasickness, so I never called the ship's doctor. She was so much better when we reached Marseille that Mother suggested a side trip to Paris. We were so close and I'd never seen that great city. I remember how she laughed for the first time in so many weeks. Laughed at the longing look in my eyes. Paris. To a young girl, it was a magic word. Paris. Paris. It was the opening day of the Great Paris Exposition. What a time to be arriving in the Queen's City. We pushed our way through the crowds to our hotel, L'Hôtel Marquis. Now, just sit right down in this easy chair, Mother.
Oh, thank you, Ellen. Don't worry about me.
I'll take care of everything. Before you know it, we'll be in a nice, comfortable room. This looks like a very friendly hotel. I'll go register.
Bonjour, mademoiselle.
You do speak English, don't you?
Oh, but yes, mademoiselle. It is a special service to our British and American guests.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm afraid I have a little difficulty. We wired for reservations from Marseille. The name is Roberts.
Oh, yes, here we are, a party of two. We have reserved a very lovely room for Mademoiselle Roberts. Room 323. Would you register here, please?
Yes. There.
Thank you, Mademoiselle Roberts.
Our baggage will be arriving from the station. Would you have it sent up, please?
Oh, a pleasure. Enjoy your stay in Paris, Mademoiselle.
Oh, thank you.
Chasseur, ces dames au 323.
We're all set, Mother. And they were very nice.
Yes.
What? You're ill, Mother.
Just let me catch my breath. I'm certain I'll be fine in a moment. Oh, what a pity I have to be a burden on you, especially your first day in Paris.
I helped Mother into the elevator. We traveled up to the third floor. I remembered the elevator operator. He was a tremendous man with the kind of warm, jolly face you usually find on fat people. He seemed concerned. He was nice enough to help me support Mother as we walked toward our room. Room 323. Here's our room, Mother. Oh, thank you very much, sir. Merci beaucoup. There we are. Now just slip off your shoes and take a nice sweet nap, right?
Ellen, I don't mean to alarm you, dear, but you'd better phone for a doctor.
I quickly phoned the desk. They told me there was a house doctor and that he'd be up in a moment. I made Mother as comfortable as I knew how. While she was resting, I had an opportunity to examine the room. It was an unusual room, one you couldn't easily forget. The wallpaper was red. Almost blood red. The furniture was Louis XIV. The chandelier was glass with pendants of crystal hanging down which looked like large icicles. The carpet was cream colored. There are moments in our lives when impressions are keener than ever. And I knew this room so well, I could have drawn a picture of it. It was the kind of room nobody could forget. Yes?
C'est le médecin, mademoiselle.
Oh, what? Oh, come in, doctor.
No.
Mother hasn't been well, but she's been fine for the last few days.
Huh?
Then suddenly she took sick again this noon.
Mm-hmm. Ah, oui.
Open the eyes, madam. Now the mouth. La fièvre très forte. Cœur très affaibli. Allons, alors, ne pas ça. Que faire?
Mademoiselle, my English is not too good, so I speak to you avec difficulty. It is very necessary for you to get medicine, a very special medicine.
Well, anything at all, of course.
It is a long way from here. It is at the place where I live.
Well, can I phone for it or send a messenger?
Oh, this is not possible. I will give you the direction and a note for my wife. It will better be if you go you yourself.
Oh, I don't like to leave Mother.
Oh, I will stay with your mother, yes. Here. There is a carriage just outside the door of the hotel. Give this note to the driver. He will take you to the house. Alors, retiens cette demoiselle le plus longtemps possible. Here is another note for my wife. She will prepare the medicine. Now, quickly, go.
Well,
it is urgent. It is very necessary. Go, go.
I hesitated for just an instant. Mother seemed to be in pain. I had to go. I ran for the elevator. The fat operator sensed I was in a hurry, and the car sped to the ground floor. I ran out into the street. The carriage was there. I handed the driver the note. We started through the crowded streets. It was at the height of afternoon traffic, and we seemed to crawl. The trip took hours. We wound through every back alley in Paris. I seemed to lose all sense of direction. The wheels of the carriage seemed to be going slower and slower. I thought I'd go crazy. Hurry! Oh, please, hurry! The snail pace of the carriage made me want to scream. It was a calculated monotony, slow torture. It's very important that you hurry. Please, please, please. At last we came to the doctor's house. I rushed up the stairs. Oh. Hello? Is anybody home? Oh, please come to the door.
Oui?
Here's a note from the doctor. Are you his wife?
Entrez, s'il vous plaît.
I followed her into a sitting room and she motioned me to a chair. I waited. I started to count my heartbeats. Every breath I took was a clock tick. How long could it take to fill a prescription? The first 10 minutes felt like 10 years. The next 10 minutes seemed like an eternity. After a half hour of waiting, I couldn't stand it any longer. Where are you? Where's the medicine? Where did you go? My mother is sick. I need that medicine for her. Please, please. The house seemed to be completely deserted. Was I awake? Was this a terrible dream, a nightmare? Help! Help me! It was an hour and 10 minutes after I entered that house before the woman returned to the sitting room.
La médecine. Mademoiselle.
She handed me a small wrapped parcel and I rushed from the house. I had told the carriage to wait, but it was gone. I couldn't blame the driver. I ran through the streets looking for a cab, a carriage, anything. I was lost. Finally, I found an old carriage. L'Hôtel Marquis, please, and hurry. It was just a few blocks away. The first driver had taken me in a wide circle completely around Paris. Clutching the medicine in my hand, I rushed in the hotel. I didn't wait for the elevator, but ran up the stairs just as fast as I could. The door was locked. Doctor! Doctor, I'm back with the medicine. Let me in.
Que désirez-vous, mademoiselle?
What are you doing in this room?
Je ne comprends pas, mademoiselle.
Where's my mother?
Pardon?
There was a complete stranger in our room. I quickly glanced at the door. It was room 323. There was no mistake about that. I rushed to the end of the hall. Outside the window, I saw the huge sign, L'Hôtel Marquis. I ran down to the lobby. The same clerk was there. What's happened to my mother?
Pardon, mademoiselle. Nous ne parlons pas l'anglais ici.
Speak English. You spoke English this afternoon. Where's my mother? What's a strange man doing in our room?
Excusez, mademoiselle. Je ne comprends pas.
Where's my mother? Where's my mother?
Je ne comprends pas.
Where's my mother?
Je ne comprends pas.
We're ready for Act Two of The Mystery of Room 323, the favorite story choice of the famous comedy team, Burns and Allen. Janet Waldo stars as the confused and lost young lady. So we return to the lobby of the Paris Hotel. Let's see if we can unravel the mystery of Room 323.
I stood at the desk of L'Hotel Marquis, pounding my fists. The clerk looked at me archly as if I were a child. A few hours earlier, the very same clerk had spoken such good English. Now he just stood there saying...
Je ne comprends pas.
Don't say that. Don't keep saying that.
Je ne comprends pas, mademoiselle.
I looked at him, begging him to understand me. His eyes were cold. The elevator boy... That one, he'd remember. He was kind to me before. He'd help me now. I rushed toward the elevator and rang the bell. Hurry. Oh, please, hurry. The elevator descended so slowly. Have you ever waited a whole lifetime for an elevator?
Mademoiselle?
The elevator boy was thin. Thin as a rail. There's been some mistake. Some terrible mistake. It's possible I went to the wrong room. I must get this medicine to my mother. The doctor said it was urgent. When we reached the third floor, I rushed to the room. 323. 323. Here. Mother! Doctor!
Une minute!
A man's voice, not the doctor's. Oh, please, please.
Mademoiselle, il n'y a personne, seulement moi. Qu'est-ce que vous désirez?
The same man stood there in a robe dripping from his bath. I've got to see this room.
Mademoiselle, c'est pas permis.
I shoved my way past him into the room. The wallpaper was green, not red like it was before. The furniture was modern. The carpet was different. There was no chandelier. The whole room was changed. And no sign anywhere of my mother or of the doctor. Then I thought I was out of my mind. I turned to the man. I needed help. I needed help so desperately. Monsieur,
oui,
help me. Eh? Do you know, is there another Hotel Marquis in Paris that looks just like this one? Something's happened to my mother. I'm alone in Paris. Please try to understand me. Please try to help me.
Mademoiselle, connaissez-vous un peu de français?
Could I say it? Could I shape the words? Ma mère.
Votre mère.
Malade.
Et malade.
Oh, I don't know the words. Est-ce qu'il y a...
Un autre hôtel
en Paris de la nom de Marquis?
Nom de Marquis? Je ne comprends pas. Un autre hôtel?
Oh. Oh, dear Lord in heaven. Somehow I found my way back to the lobby, feeling the way with my feet, not seeing because of the blur of tears. I knew I had to get control of myself. The register. This noon I signed the register. I didn't wait to ask. I didn't try to struggle with my bad French. I just walked up to the desk and grabbed the book.
Mademoiselle, je vous en prie.
My name was not in the register.
You, clerk. I registered in this book. I remember distinctly. You were very gracious. What have you done with it? Tell me, for the love of heaven, tell me.
He just stood there looking at me, shrugging, bowing, with the expression on his face that he didn't understand a thing I was saying. It must have been the wrong hotel. But how could I find the right one? The doctor. If I could find the doctor, he could tell me where the hotel was. His name would surely be on the medicine. Quickly, I tore off the paper wrapping. Traveled halfway around Paris to get was just a bar of soap. I don't know how I ever managed to get to the office of the American Consul. I remember people laughing, music in the streets. I remember stopping people who looked like Americans or Englishmen and trying to explain. But who was interested in a young girl looking for a lost old lady on carnival night in Paris? If I could find one kind face, someone to help me get rid of this nightmare. The office of the American Consul was locked for the night. It was just by chance that a young assistant had returned for some papers. Feverishly, I told him my story.
You're going to be all right. You're just overwrought.
I'm not overwrought. Oh, you must believe me. Tell me, is there another Hotel Marquis in Paris? One that looks just like the other one?
No, there's just one.
Well, then what could have happened? What? Help me, please.
You're certain of the room number, 323.
Yes, I remember it distinctly. Three has always been my lucky number. Lucky.
Well, could it have been 333 or 233 or 332?
No, it was 323. I remember the rhythm of it. I know you think I'm out of my mind, but this happened. And don't you understand? Something criminal has happened. This isn't just the lapse of memory by a silly girl. They sent me halfway around Paris for a cake of soap. Why?
If we can wait until morning, I'm certain the ambassador will get the entire Paris police on this.
We can't wait until tomorrow. Something's happened to my mother. Please, please, please help me find her.
Miss Roberts, I believe you. And I'm going to do what I can to help you.
We went back to the hotel. The clerk gave us nothing but a shrug and a blank stare. So we went to the police. The young consul attaché spoke to them for a long time, arguing with them, pleading with them in my behalf. Finally, he gave up and turned to me. What did they say?
Habeas corpus, or the French equivalent. Show them a body or a crime committed and they'll go to work.
But my mother is missing, disappeared. Surely the police can do something about that.
Well, they've put her name and description under missing persons.
Put down her name.
Miss Roberts, I see only one way to attack this problem. I'm going to believe you completely. I'm going to go along with you on everything you've said.
You must.
Fine. Then let's take the simplest ingredient of your story. Room 323 at L'Hôtel Marquis had red wallpaper.
Yes.
That paper is now green. If that premise is accurate, there's a paper hanger involved in this someplace, and we're going to find him.
I guess we woke every paper hanger in Paris. The consul attaché pounded questions at them. It was frustrating. We kept running up blind alleys until at last we found a decorator
who protested
too much.
No, no, absolutely not.
This one knows something about this, all right. Listen, you. Je suis de l'ambassade américaine. Vous avez tapissé une pièce de l'hôtel Marquis.
No, no, no.
Keep after him. He looks as if he knows something.
I'm going to try some money. 1,000 francs ought to do it. Écoutez. Est-ce que vous avez travaillé cet après-midi à l'hôtel Marquis?
No, monsieur.
I don't know why he's holding back. Voici 1,000 francs.
Mais le directeur de l'hôtel m'a dit que pour le bien de tout Paris, je ne dois rien dire.
What did he say?
He did it. They told him not to talk.
Mais je n'étais pas seul, vous comprenez. Il y en avait d'autres avec moi.
There were other men working there, too.
Well, then you see it did happen. But why? Why?
We're going back to that hotel, and that's what we're going to find out.
The Lancelot Taché confronted the clerk with the facts. The paper hanger had admitted changing the furnishings of room 323 in a hurry during the time I was gone. The clerk sighed and motioned us into a room. He spoke very quietly, almost in a whisper, his eyes averted.
Monsieur, qu'est de millions et de millions de francs?
He speaks English. Make him speak English.
Very well, mademoiselle. I wished only to spare you.
Spare me? What's happened? Tell me quickly. Where's my mother?
Permit me to say something first. You understand that millions and millions of francs have been spent to attract tourists to Paris for the exposition.
Where's my mother?
If news of your mother's sickness leaked out, Paris would be emptied in the space of an hour. We would all be ruined.
I don't understand.
Where's my mother?
She's dead. She died a few minutes after you left the hotel. It was necessary to do something drastic.
You killed her.
Oh, no, no. She died peacefully and naturally. The doctor knew the moment he entered your room how sick she was. And that is why he sent you away.
But the room, the furnishings...
We changed them, monsieur. We did everything to make the young lady think she never came here.
But why? What was wrong with my mother?
Can you tell us?
La peste.
La peste?
What does that mean? Tell me, tell me.
Miss Roberts, your mother died of the Black Plague.
And now you know. Now you know why in the dead of night I wake up shivering, screaming. Mother, what have they done to you?
Well, that's the mystery of room 323, one of the most famous legends of the century. Many researchers into the realms of the mysterious claim it's a true story. Alexander Wolcott even traced it down to an actual newspaper account published in the summer of 1889. Well, whether fact or fiction, it's still a great yarn. And we want to thank our star, Janet Waldo, Claude Sweeten, who composed the score, and George Burns and Gracie Allen, who named it their favorite story. How dear to this heart are the scenes of my childhood when fond recollection presents them to view. The orchard, the meadow, the deep tangled wildwood, and every loved spot which my infancy knew. So, next week on Favorite Story, Mark Twain's Tom Sawyer. This famous saga of the Mississippi has been chosen by Broadway's actress-playwright Miss Ruth Gordon as her favorite story. We hope you'll be listening.